Take your Bibles tonight. First, turn to 1 John chapter 1. So we do appreciate being here, even if the air conditioner isn't working and the video doesn't come on. Amen. We'll try to. I hope you get that worked out before we get here again. I'm kidding. But isn't that a shame? Don't you hate it when things like that happen? It's not like we, huh? Yes. And you know the way people are today, they have to be comfortable. And it's like a preacher told me one time, he says, when people are starting to make you comfortable, get worried. Because that's what they do just before you die. They make you comfortable. No. I want to be uncomfortable, thank you. A little stress in life isn't a bad thing, amen? And but people are just peculiar when the technology doesn't work right. I won't go into all the stuff that we used to have to deal with. I remember when it was hot and you sweat. That's how you stayed cool. And the fan you had was one in your hand. It wasn't buzzing around up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fans, amen? That does good job, though. They really do. That's a blessing. I appreciate that sort of thing. Remember nights I used to sit there and hug the fan and just to get a little relief. And the thing is, back then, you were used to the heat, so it didn't kill you. I've noticed this. A couple places we've been, we've stayed in a church down in Yuma, Arizona. It gets hot down there. And he didn't have any windows in the room we stayed in that we could open. And it was only 85 or 95 degrees or something like that. And I'll be honest, I went and found the air conditioner. I turned that down a few levels because I needed some air. I'm getting older, and I shouldn't admit that. But anyway, enough of that. I'll stop commiserating and start preaching and trying to do something intelligent here. That may not happen either. But let's read here. 1 John chapter 1, and it says, we'll just start right at the top. It's a good passage of Scripture. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Whew, that's amazing. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be at least 30% higher than it is. Full. You ever been full of joy? Overflowing, having it run out your ears. You ever been so joyful you couldn't stand yourself anymore? Isn't that a blessing? If you haven't, apparently it's available. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Father, help us tonight once again to receive your words. We ask your grace upon us now. Thank you for letting us be here. But Father, meet with us here, as always, God, and I pray that you bless this church and use it for your glory. Encourage these folks, and thank you for letting us enjoy you and your presence here. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, light's a strange thing. And when you read the Scripture, you see an awful lot about light. It seems as if God's got a thing about it. And in fact, the Bible says right here that in him is light and is no darkness at all. The Bible records the fact that one day we'll be in a city doesn't have any darkness at all. It's always light, and God is the light of it. Won't be any sun. Don't have to worry about the sun or the moon. God is the light of it. Won't that be something? And if I read it right, that city is huge. It's about 1,200 miles on edge and 1,200 miles high. That's going to be some city, amen? And that city is made out of gold. Looking forward to that. It's like the old story about the miser that got saved, actually, and he wanted to, when he went to heaven, he begged and begged and begged to bring something with him. And so when he showed up at the pearly gates, he shows up and he's got the satchel with him, and Peter says, hey, what's that? He said, well, I got permission to bring this in. You did? Really? Well, let me check. So he goes and looks around, comes back, says, all right, I found out you can bring it in. And so he brings it and he says, what's in there? And the guy opens it up and he's got three gold bars in there. And Peter says, that's strange. He's bringing pavement. Kind of an odd thing when you think about it. God takes one of the most valuable things to us, and that's his building material in heaven. Amen? Which makes you wonder what else is there and what is going to be pretty interesting when you consider that. And the implication I've heard is that gold is so pure and perfect that you can see through it, and God is the light and going to shine through that thing. You talk about something that's going to be amazing. And he's got all these precious stones as a foundation, and that light's going to shine down through there and sparkle down through those. Man, that's going to knock your eyes out. And that's home. Home, sweet home. There's a little contrast between the one you're in now and that one. And it's going to be more than shocking. You're going to need a whole new body to handle that. Thank God we get one of those too, amen? I like going to jewelry stores. It's a good thing I'm not rich, because my wife would have too much jewelry to wear. I like the stuff. We go into a place in Boston where they had these special lights they have on them. That stuff won't shine as brightly at your house as it does in the store. So just so you understand what you're dealing with here. It's not going to be quite as sparkly when you get it home, if you can afford it. But we were walking to that place, and they had those lights there, and you just sit there and go, wow, that's spectacular. And these are itty-bitty rocks, itty-bitty things. And they're fascinating. Can you imagine something the size of this building, or 10 times the size of this building, that's a diamond, and light shine through that thing and have it cut perfectly? You talk about doing something to light. God likes light, and he likes it in many ways. And light's various and sundry things in the Bible. It's light is truth, light is understanding, light is the presence of God, light is many things in the Scripture. And here it says, if we walk in the light, notice, as he is in the light. Wouldn't that be something? That opportunity exists for you. You see, in him is no darkness at all. Can you imagine living your life in such a way that the light that you live in is that perfect? The understanding, the manner, the clear conscience, the truth, the righteousness, the consistency in you is 100%. Nothing messing with anything anywhere. Wouldn't that be something, huh? Wouldn't you like to know people like that? Wouldn't you like to fellowship with them? Wouldn't that be a good time? Well, that's how we can be, amen? That's what we have access to. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the Bible then says we have fellowship one with another. And the Bible says that light and darkness don't have any fellowship. What concord hath light with darkness? It says what concord hath Christ with Belial. We forget the fact, oftentimes, that God is an extremist. There's no balance in God. It's just full tilt in the right directions all the time. He's not trying to work anything out to get along with anything. He is just who he is, and he's an extremist. He's not a moderate. He's an extremist. With him, there is all light, no darkness. All righteousness, all holiness, nothing else. There's no wickedness, there's nothing corrupt. He's perfect, absolute, extreme in all of his ways. Isn't that something? As Christians, we're not supposed to try to balance this thing. We're supposed to get in up to our eyeballs and then go deeper. And just get flat out with this thing I've called Christianity. Live it to the hilt. Practice it perfectly as well as we can. Get to know God as well as we can. Get as filled as we can, walk as closely as we can, and just crank this thing up and let her fly. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, tell you what, we might have an effect on things then. I've said this before, I might have said it here, but you ever see somebody who's going to sell you something, and they walk up and they say, hi, I'm Joe, and I'm here to try to get you to buy something. Kind of what I have to do. I can tell you about it. I want to tell you about it. I'd like you to buy it if you could. Could I talk to you for a minute? No. Go away. You don't believe half of what you're talking about, number one. Number two, I don't trust you. But you get somebody that, ever meet a salesman that you couldn't say no to? The enthusiasm, the you could sense in him there was a push in him, he was committed, he was in. And it had nothing to do with him having to sell something. He loved what he was doing. He was sold out, man. He was in it 100,000%. You couldn't convince him anything he was doing was wrong. And if you didn't like what he was selling, he wouldn't listen to you. He would convince you he was right, and you had a problem. Amen? Well, isn't that how we should be? Full of it, up to the eyeballs. I think sometimes we witness to people, we apologize for it. Why are we apologizing for trying to tell them the truth and get them saved? I've had people act like, "Where do you think you are?" I said, "I think I'm a child of God. Who are you? I think I'm right and you're wrong. How about that?" "Well, you can't tell people that. I just did. Want to hear it again?" But we don't have that kind of force. We're sort of intimidated by them, and we shouldn't be. I like it better when I'm filled with God and it doesn't matter to me what anybody thinks, because I'm just going to go after it and have at it. In him is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that when Jesus, turn there for a minute, when Jesus came to the earth, the Bible says he is the light. And this is, it's got some great verses about that in here, about what that how that applies and what it means. So look in John chapter 1. You read this, and I'll bet you've got some of it memorized. But I like these verses. It says here, in verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Isn't that something? You see, what you don't understand, oftentimes, or don't realize, or just don't meditate on, is that when you got saved, you became alive like you never were before. But the life of God exists in you. That's eternal life. It can't be stopped. It can't be ended. It can't ever go away. And this life is the light that moves you. It's what drives you. It's what's in you. It's what should come out of you. And it should be very bright. Oftentimes, too often, I should say, the world gets to us and it sort of dims that light. Sort of puts something over it. It sort of holds it back. It sort of dulls it in its effect. Christians today want to live both sides. You can't live both sides well. Because when you bring in darkness, it diminishes light. Now, the strange thing about this, in this verse here, it says this. Next verse, it says, and this is a strange thing. This is hard to get sometimes. It says, "And the light shineth in darkness." Well, isn't that where light goes? But it says here, "The darkness comprehended it not." Wow, now that's weird. How does darkness not comprehend light? I mean, isn't that what you do when you walk in your house at night, turn a light on? Doesn't the darkness move back? It must have noticed it. But there is a darkness that resists light. It's a scary thing. My wife and I got a chance to go to Poland for a two-week crusade. And what we do is we went over and we hand out Gospels of John and Romans, and then we have an invitation in there. And the invitation is to a certain place of a Saturday evening that will hold a bunch of folks, and we hand those out all over town, with thousands of them, piles of them. And we do that for 4 or 5 days. We're on the streets where some people put them up in apartment buildings. We had a pile of them, and when we left, we didn't have very many left. And our goal is to get people to come to this meeting, and we offer them, we promise them a Bible if they come. So, we're in Poland. Now, you know what Poland's like. It's run by the Roman Catholic religion, and it's a very difficult place to go. And, you know, all the jokes are about Polacks, this, that, and the other thing. I had a friend of mine, he found out I was going, he called me, he says, "Hey, brother, would you do me a favor?" And he's Polish. And he says, "While you're over there, would you do me a favor and see if there's any new jokes?" I said, "Sure, brother, I'll look into it." When I got back, I called him up, I said, "You know what I found out? There's no new jokes," I said, "but all the ones that you know are true." we're over there and doing this, and we got these people to come to this meeting. We had over 400 of them, handed out over 400 Bibles. And it was a great thing. Some folks got saved. But you know what happened? The darkness pushed against it. That place is dark. And that light was soaked up into that darkness. And after we left, the missionaries said we would go visit the people we gave Bibles to, and some of them said, you have to take this back. We do? Yeah, I heard a story one time that said an older woman had her children come over and said, you can't have the Bible in the house. You can't have a Bible. But the church says you can't have one. You have to give it back. And the missionaries said, well, you can't give it back. It's a gift. We don't want it back. It's yours. And that stressed those people out. That caused them a lot of trouble. Because the darkness was so great that the light couldn't push against it. Isn't that weird? I hope it never gets like that in this country. But there are already places where the darkness is moving in very strongly. And it's pushing the light out. And it intends to. The devil is good at what he does. He dwells in darkness. In fact, when God talks about the place where he's going, he says there's no light at all. Absolute darkness. Forever. In fire. For years, people would wonder, they said, well, how can you have fire and no light? Well, sulfur burns dark. Isn't that weird? When you burn sulfur, you don't see light. It burns dark. God has a fix for everything, man. He's got it. This light we have, this light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. This was the true light, verse 9, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Ain't that something? You walk up to somebody and you're talking to him and say, hey, have you seen the light lately? Huh? Well, it says, I know the Bible says that the light that is in the scripture lights everybody in the world, so it must have lighted you. That's a good conversation starter. Kind of make them think. Explain it to them when you get a minute. And this light makes it so that God wants folks to hear it, find the truth. He wants them to hear the truth. And so basically, he gives them understanding in it. Whenever I'm dealing with somebody or try to get somebody, I always ask them to let them understand. Open their eyes. Make them see. Because the Bible says the devil's blinded the minds. He's blinded them and made it so they can't see. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says faith doesn't come by reading? Faith cometh by hearing. Because you can hear in the dark, but you can't see. But you can hear. That's why it's important to preach the word and tell people and quote the scriptures. And put the light out. Light banging around long enough eventually be noticed. You probably all had the experience. I did this one night. I was in, at my church building, and we were in a place where behind us was all trees and a lake and so forth. There was no light behind us. And a fellow had cleaned the church, and he had told me what was going on there. He called me from there, and about 20 minutes after he left, I went down to the church. Only about a mile away, so it was pretty quick. And when I got there, some people had broken in and jumped out the back door, back window. They broke in the window. They could have walked in the front door. It wasn't locked. But they broke out the back window, and I was aggravated. They just left. I know they had. And I went out, going to run after them. And I went outside, and I started running in the woods. I said, whoa, just a minute. It's pitch black out there. They can see me, but I can't see them. I am going to be toast. All right, you win. See ya. That darkness is rough stuff. You want light out there. And you'll do this when you walk in the darkness. You carry a flashlight and so on and so forth. The darkness, in darkness, you can see light a long way off. It's kind of interesting how that works. And it doesn't take a lot of light to be seen well. And you ever notice that people always gravitate towards light when it's dark? Always. Your church here is a light. And you need to make that light as bright as you possibly can. Because the darkness is coming. And folks are going to be looking for the truth. We keep saying that, and we don't see a whole lot of it, but there are people that are looking for the truth. They've just been confused about where to find it. And so you have to have your light as it should be so that they can see it. Doesn't have to be real big, but it does have to be bright enough for folks to find. Light's important. I like it. I've had times, and I'll bet you have, I've had times when I've had kind of a rough night, and I thought, you know, we need the dawn. I need to see sunlight. I've had nights when about 4 o'clock in the morning, and this is times when it isn't going to get light till about 6, and I thought, that's going to be a long couple hours. You ever had those nights? Things get to you. Things mess with your head. Things bother you. Things stress you out. Troubles, issues, problems. Sometimes the devil shows up and just messes with you. It's a nuisance. But boy, when the sun comes up, it's all right. Things are making sense again. When we were moving out to Idaho from New Hampshire, I would wake up about, and we were doing this in the winter, so normally the sun comes up about 4 o'clock over there in the summertime. And I had a bird that sat outside my window because I slept with the windows open, who would wait until, you know, they start when the sun rises. So I knew when sun was up every morning because that bird would there, chirp, chirp, chirp. Boy, he decided to wait. And I never saw the bird because as soon as I moved, he was gone. It wasn't 3 feet outside my window. But when we were moving out west, we were selling the house, leaving the church, leaving family, etc., behind and so forth, and heading out, and I didn't know why. And I have come awake at about 4:30 in the morning, sat up straight in bed, and said, "What am I doing? Good night!" And just stressed out, man. And it took me half an hour to settle down. That is, you don't make any big decisions at 5 a.m. That's not the best time to do your thinking, amen? And not enough light around. You need to wait till the sun comes up and you can see things a little more clearly. By the sunrise, I felt better. Things were working out. I did that twice. I stopped trying to think of things at 4 o'clock in the morning. Just, it's not worth it. And sunlight, back in New Hampshire, we have, you probably have experiences here, but it'll go 3 weeks sometimes without the sun showing up in February, end of January into February. We have the January thaw, something like that, February thaw, for what it is. But it can get socked in and just stay that way for a long time. Folks get weird. You got people, we were talking about this today, I think, or yesterday. You got people back there that go to work in the dark, come home in the dark. You don't want to meet them on the street. You don't. They are not fun people to be around. They need sunshine. It's been said that you get a full spectrum light. People up in Alaska, where they don't have the sunshine for 4 or 5 months a year, you need to get a full spectrum lamp and just stare at it for 20 minutes. It'll remove your depression. It'll make you feel a lot better. Light is a wonderful thing. Without light, things aren't good. We need light. I like light. And the light of God is a wonderful thing. And the light shineth in darkness. And the amazing thing to me is that darkness comprehended it not. This is the condemnation, John chapter 3, that light has come into the world. The men loved darkness, loved darkness, loved darkness. I don't understand people that love darkness. I don't get them. They've got to be a different breed of critter from what I'm used to. I've had police tell me that any place they're in, nothing good happens after midnight. If they see somebody out after midnight, they're wondering what they're up to because they're probably not doing something they should be doing. I told my kids, I said, you don't have a curfew when they could drive and get around. I said, 17, 18 years old. I said, you don't have a curfew, but you will be in before midnight because we have neighbors that know what we stand for. And they know what happens after midnight. And if you're not in before midnight, they think you're up to no good. And that's a lousy testimony. So I said, you will be in before midnight. And they were. Once or twice they didn't, and I talked to them the next day. I said, listen, this is how it works out. You got a testimony to keep, and it's very important that you keep it. So let's do it right. But it says, and men love darkness rather than this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah. You're supposed to behave like you're in light, where people can see you and know what you're doing and understand what you're doing, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, one of the things I learned about Christians, we walk in truth. We don't have a shady area. We don't have a shadow. We don't spend time where we can't be seen. We are open. We have nothing to hide. And you're supposed to live your life with nothing to hide. When Jesus Christ was being judged, they asked him, so what do you teach? He says, everything I've taught, you've heard. I've taught it out in public. You know exactly what I teach. Why are you asking me? Well, they're trying to trip him up. But he says, I don't do anything behind closed doors. I do everything where anybody can see it. You know exactly what I'm saying. Don't you talk to me like that. But they did everything behind closed doors. That's not how we live. That's not who we are. You can't do that as a Christian and be honest. It's just not good. And it's not right. And the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. You see? The lost get caught up in their evil. They get caught up in their wickedness. And when the light comes around, they don't like it. If you work with people who like to do things they shouldn't do, and you carry gospel tracts and leave them around, and you sing hymns or whistle hymns and so forth, or you talk about the gospel and Jesus Christ, and you're happy because of him and so forth, you're irritating those people. Because every time you walk by, a little more light comes on them, and they're not that fond of it. But do it. Do it. Bother them. And make sure they understand what you're doing and how it works out. Now, I want to show you something. Here's something interesting. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is quite an interesting verse. And by the way, I'm not even coming close to covering the verses dealing with light in the Bible. They're all over the place. But these are just a few. We'll try to encourage you in some things. Watch this. It says in verse 22 of Matthew 6, it says, the light of the body is the eye. Isn't that weird? Isn't that a strange thing? The light of the body is the eye. And that's been shown that your eye is the only way light gets into your body. And it's been shown that there's things about your eye that can tell people, some people, about everything about you. And if you've ever looked at someone and watch your children or whatever, it's a known thing that if somebody's lying to you, they probably aren't going to look you in the eye. And if they do look you in the eye, you're going to see it. Isn't it weird how that goes? You ever try to be deceptive on purpose and caught yourself looking to the side and so on and so forth? I've done it. I tried. I said, enough of this. I'm just going to tell them the truth. I've learned just to live in the truth, man. It's not worth the aggravation otherwise. I can't lie anyway. I can't lie. I can't steal. I'm lousy at it. I don't even want to bother getting good at it either. Thank God for that. Finally, I got saved and realized I didn't have to, so I was happy about it. But the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body, if thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil, isn't it interesting? Thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now, I don't know how that works out, but I'll guarantee you that has something to do with your health, has something to do with how you live, has something to do with what goes on with you. How can you? Darkness is in your body. Isn't that weird? I do not understand that. I'm just going to believe it. If your eye is single, in other words, one thing, you're focused on Jesus Christ, and that's your life. You walk in light, and that's how you live all the time. There's never an option. There's never something else going on. Nobody, they should be able to take you like they did the Lord and haul you in and not find any witnesses against you. If anybody's going to witness against you, they have to lie. That's how clean you're supposed to live. Nobody could find a thing wrong with you. Christians are afraid to go into politics because of what somebody might find out about them. Well, they'll lie about them, but they shouldn't be able to make anything stick. If they do find say something, it should be it'll be a lie. That's how clean we're supposed to live. All the time. And then it says this, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That's when you walk away from light and go into darkness. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor, and he's got a good family, good church, and so forth, good guy. And he has a granddaughter that grew up in church, played the piano, went with the teen groups, did everything like she was supposed to. Then some so-and-so, young, long-haired, charismatic fella, came along and started talking to her. And she started listening to him. And then she wandered off from where she was supposed to be and got tied up with him. And, of course, they believe you can do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. And so she did. And they did stuff they weren't supposed to do. And she got involved in things she shouldn't be involved in. She got to the point where she accused her parents of abusing her because they raised her right and made her behave and so on and so forth. Well, that wasn't right. And they didn't tell her about all this other wonderful stuff in the world. Well, you're not supposed to raise your kids and expose them to the stupidity. You're supposed to expose them to the truth, righteousness, honesty, integrity, and be legitimate with them. That's why I raised mine. But that's considered abuse in some circles. She got involved in various things. About 4 years later, I estimate the time, I don't remember exactly how all this worked out. She started coming back and hanging around the family a little bit, so on and so forth. We were in a store where her mother worked, and she was there, and her grandmother was there as well. And on the other side, on the other side, the family. And she was talking and had her wicked buddy with her. And I looked at her, and she wouldn't acknowledge I existed. And I was standing 4 feet away from her. And she knew me as well as I knew her. And she wouldn't even look at me. But I looked at her eyes, and there was no light in her eyes at all. The darkness had come. And that grieved my soul. I thought to myself, you have no idea how far you've fallen. You have no idea the consequences of your choices. You're in trouble, and you don't even know it. That darkness was great. And it's an awful thing. It's just unnecessary. We had our oldest daughter, when she was born, she was beautiful, basically. And she had a sparkle in her eye. She's classic. I'll tell you what, you hang around her for a while, she'd just make you happy. I mean, 3, 4, and 5, she'd just make you happy. And when she did something I didn't like, which was very seldom, and I got on her case, the light went, the sparkle stopped. I couldn't do another thing to her. To be honest with you, you win. I couldn't handle that. To see that light diminish, I couldn't handle that. It's a weird thing. I look at people, I watch people, you know this as well as I do. You can stand and talk to somebody and look in their eyes, and you can ask them, I've had people do this to me. Are you a Christian? They say, yeah. Are you? Yeah. Thought so. Say what we say with us, our spirit bears witness. There's a light in their eyes that's not in anybody, it's not in the lost person's eyes. You have that. Don't darken it. Make it brighter. Light's important. The Bible says, say we have fellowship with him, get this, and walk in darkness, We lie and do not the truth. You've met this. You've seen this happen. We've all seen it happen. You get a Christian that starts dabbling in things they shouldn't be messing with. And you get around them and you can feel tension. And they won't look at you straight on. And they won't relax in your presence because they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. And you look at them and you can say, and I basically, as a pastor, I looked at them and I said, you got a problem, you need to get that fixed. I can see it in you. Boy, they hate to hear that. Used to get my kids and look at my kids and, you know, if they're looking like this at you and they're da-da-da-da, I say, hello, look up here. Because I want to see your eyes. Yeah, well, I don't want you to see them. I know. So quit it. Whatever it is. Light's important. Light matters a great deal. You'd have a tough time living. Imagine living in this world without light. Huh? Make any sense? It's illogical. Can't be. God wouldn't make a world without light. Bad enough that we have night. Thank God we're coming into summertime and it's light longer. That's a blessing. The longest day is, what, 20th of June? Then it goes downhill again. That's a nuisance. I just wanted to get lighter and lighter and stay that way. I'm looking for heaven. That'll be a wonderful time. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Let me show you something really peculiar. This is amazing. These are verses that you know. Follow with me a little bit. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ain't that something? Now I know you can use the word in various ways, but you think about that for a minute. The thing you carry with Christ is light. Ain't that weird? Your burden's not only not heavy, it's light. With Him, there is no darkness. And so when you associate with Him, the thing that affects you in your life that you carry is that light. That changes everything about you. That should make you a completely different person. There's no burden with light in the sense that it's something hard to carry. But if you walk with Him, as He's in the light, you walk in the light, and that light is yours to offer. Folks need to, and you know it's not hard to see light? Now it's awfully bright out there right now. If you go turn your car lights on, they aren't going to have any effect on anything. Amen? We got lights on in here, etc., and that's cool. We can see well. And it's nice. But it's about time the Christians actually bought into this thing 100%. Stop dabbling with it. Stop fooling with it and messing with it and everything, having everything else in your life. Isn't it interesting that when you look at a television, you turn it off, what is it? What color is it? Dark. It's darkness, isn't it? And isn't it interesting when you turn it off, it's all gone. They're all dark. Until you put light in them. Which means they're basically darkness. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's some good stuff. Because that's His life. He is His light. He's the light and the life. And that light is life. It shines in the hearts of men. It shines around so folks can find Him. We need to be the people of light. We are the people of light. Our burden is light. Our business is light. And light is a wonderful thing and changes what's going on. And when it's dark and it turns light, that's better. That's better. And have you ever noticed when somebody gets saved? I love this. They get done praying and look up, they go, oh, it's brighter. Isn't that weird? It's like there's a light on them. It's like it shines in them. That's a wonderful thing. If I don't see that, I wonder if they got saved. Because usually that's what I see with somebody I lead to Christ. It's fun leading people to Christ. That's about as exciting a thing as you can do on this earth. That is probably a greater blessing than anything the world has to offer. Get after it, man. Bring the light. Carry the light. Show folks what the light's about. We are to be light. We are light. And we're supposed to have fellowship one with another in light. We don't hang out in darkness at all. That's the other side of the coin. That's that eternal darkness. That's stuff we don't mess with. We want people out of there. Amen.